Well, I was thinking about today, the Lord was just talking to me about being thankful. And, you know, when I think about the Apostle Paul, I don't normally think of the Apostle Paul as like the happy, giddy apostle. That certainly was in his personality type. You know, as I've mentioned before, he had an argument with Barnabas, and Barnabas's name meant son of encouragement. And he was like encouraging everybody. And Paul and him had a split because Barnabas wanted to show John Mark some grace, even though John Mark had blown it on their first missionary journey, had abandoned them. Paul was done with John Mark and didn't want to have him to go on the second missionary journey. And Barnabas wanted to show grace and kindness. Paul didn't. And so they had this, what the scripture says, it was a vinegary dispute. That's the Greek translation there. And so Paul's personality type was he was sort of driven and intense. And yet nobody in the New Testament, of all the writers, and Paul wrote the largest portion of the New Testament, nobody wrote more about giving thanks or being joyful or rejoicing or hope than the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he identifies God as being the God of hope. That's really neat and encouraging to me, because some people have, and sadly, a disposition of God that's kind of in a bad mood all the time because of all of our imperfections. And if we could ever just get it right perfectly, then God would be in a better mood. But the truth is, God is a God of hope. And so I was just thinking of some of the scriptures. One of the places I love to teach from, and I've taught a lot from over the decades, is from the book of Colossians. And the book of Colossians, just like Ephesians and Philippians, and by the way, the book of Philippians, in the book of Philippians, 16 different times, Paul uses the term joy or rejoicing. It's amazing. And in Philippians, as well as Ephesians, and in Colossians, Paul was imprisoned in Rome for 2 years. And so his circumstance and situation was a very severe one. And yet Paul wrote, like here's from Ephesians, this is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. He says, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit is to simply continually abide in your union with Christ. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That's remarkable. I mean, when people think about Paul, and I know the movie that they did this last summer about Paul, I think it was last summer, I didn't even watch it because I heard people's report. It was just like this dark movie because all these dark, horrible things happened to Paul. Well, there was a lot of difficult things happened to Paul, but Paul did not live in a dark mood. This was Paul's disposition, speaking and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's somebody in a good mood. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That's somebody in a good mood. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, Paul, you have to understand, after that situation with John Mark and Barnabas, Paul grew and learned. That was early on in his walk with the Lord. And he celebrates John Mark's ministry to him when he's in prison. There's been a real restoration. And one of the people he's grateful for who was serving him while he was under house arrest in Rome was John Mark. And so Paul himself grew in his own understanding of grace, and as he wrote more and more about the grace of God, as we do, we're built up in the Lord, we change and transform, This is what Paul said. This is another thing Paul said. And all these little scriptures I'm going to read came from Paul, because I wanted to emphasize it's not about a temperament. It's not because a person's a sanguine personality. And therefore, sanguine personalities are always thankful. Sanguine personalities are kind of always joyful. But my temperament, my personality, somebody might say, isn't like that. No excuse. It's about being in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a supernatural consequence of your being in union with Christ. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. This is from the Amplified Version. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, Be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. Listen to what Colossians 2:6 says. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say. Having been rooted in him deeply, and now being continually built up in him, and becoming increasingly more like him, established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. That's what Paul said. One of the consequences of walking in union with Christ is that you will overflow with gratitude. This is Colossians chapter 3. There's a bunch of places. Colossians 3, the last part of verse 11, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Again, no more. I won't listen to more scriptures, but seven different times in Colossians, Paul's under house arrest. There he's in prison, but he talks about being joyful, rejoicing. He talks about giving thanks, being thankful, thanksgiving. And if you read through Paul's letters, it's kind of a general theme that here's this guy who talks about being thankful, rejoicing in the Lord. Now, when Paul uses those terms about being thankful, being grateful, I don't think he's just talking about the fact that he was grateful to the Lord because of the grace of God's work in his life, because he's saved, because his sins are forgiven, because God loves him, because he's going to go to heaven one day. Now, that's true, and we are very grateful for that. But if you read through those scriptures, we don't have time to really do that. I think the reality is that Paul is talking about joyfully giving thanks, being overflowing with gratitude, because he was in union with a joyful Jesus. Do you hear me? You're in union, you're in Christ, and Christ is not in a bad mood. It doesn't mean that Jesus is flippant. He understands serious issues and he knows in the fallen world his heart is broken over things. But it's also, it says again, God is a God of hope. And Romans 12:12 says we rejoice in hope. And so rejoicing and being grateful is something that's very characteristic of who God is. And we're in union with Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. It talks about in Psalm 16, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't think that means that when you get in his presence, it makes you feel joy. I think it means that his presence carries fullness of joy because he walks in fullness of joy. You and I are in union with the joyful Jesus. I've often heard people talk about hope, and hope being the definition of hope being the confident expectation that good will happen, that good will prevail. And hope does carry the idea, not of wishing, but a confident expectation. But let me show you what I believe is even a better verse that describes what hope is all about and what giving thanks is all about. This is from 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Wow. If you're yielded, he is always leading you in his triumph. Now, it may look for a season look like defeat. It may look for a season like things aren't working out well. But if you can just trust him, he says, he always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Because we're in Christ, Jesus knows that in the end, his victory is going to be manifested. His triumph is going to be manifested. He lives with the confident expectation of victory, with the confident expectation of overcoming. No matter how much it may look like that's not happening in the short term, Jesus lives as God, as the God of hope, with a confident expectation of victory. We're in union with him. And so we live with that hope. He's a joyful God. Christ is a joyful Jesus. He's a thankful, he lives with an attitude of gratitude. You know, people who love life, even if it's short term, if for a season in your life, you're just kind of loving life because circumstances are going the way you want them to, then you kind of have this attitude of gratitude. You're just grateful because life is good. The check's coming in. Things are working out well. Well, you see, God, Jesus, who we're in union with, his outlook on life isn't a fallen one. He's in a good mood, even if he at times has a broken heart. He lives with thankfulness at all times. He's grateful at all times for in terms of life and existence. He's just a grateful, thankful, joyful, hopeful God. In his presence is fullness of joy. And I believe that Paul is saying here that he, even though his personality type isn't prone towards thankfulness in his flesh or rejoicing in his flesh, that his, because he was in union with Christ, he was simply manifesting the joyful heart of Jesus in all situations and circumstances. That when he was under house arrest, what he knew is that he was in the heavenly places in Christ, and from heaven's perspective, Jesus saw victory coming out of all that, and Jesus was joyful, and Paul was in union with that joy. And that's why he could, in the Philippian jail, having been beaten up, he and Silas, thrown into the bottom part of the prison, bruised and bleeding, facing likely death the next morning, they were singing hymns at midnight. And as they did, miraculous things began to happen. Why were they doing that? Because he's in union with one who's not a pessimist. Jesus is not a pessimist. He's not in a bad mood. He doesn't have a negative attitude. He's not a grump and a grouch. He's always thankful. He's always grateful. He's always rejoicing in all things. You know, it's an interesting thing when he says, give thanks in all things. And Christians understand that. Charismatics understand that in the midst of everything, we're to praise him. But what about Ephesians 5:20, give thanks for all things? And I think that's a powerful scripture. And I think it's because, one, it doesn't matter what you're in. If you're in union with a joyful Christ, you're going to be praising God. Because you know that in this thing that's come, even if it's come from the enemy, God's going to win. He's going to always lead us in his triumph in Christ. He's just going to win. I'm just really grateful that Jesus never said, let me just share with you some of the reasons why it's okay to be depressed. It is not when he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I discovered years ago, you know the old saying that attitude determines altitude? That's not true for Christians. It's the other way around. Altitude determines attitude. And when you remember, when you renew your mind continually, remember that who you are in Christ, seated in the heavenly places, and you see things from an exalted place, who you are in Christ, from the heavenlies, then altitude determines attitude. Love all of you. Thanks for joining.